As we've discussed, the concept of Dina de Malchusa Dina, the concept that the law of the land is law and is binding upon all Jews as a matter of halacha, is a concept that is universally accepted in halacha. No one disagrees with it. We've pointed out there are two different explanations, the Ran and the Rashbam. But what we're going to address now is what type of laws are governed by Dina de Malchusa Dina. The first level was, we explained, taxation, or issues that the king has a direct interest in. Those matters, all opinions agree, Dina de Malchusa Dina, there's no debate. Where there is some discussion in the Paiskim is what happens if there's a law where the king has no direct, or the government has no direct vested interest. However, it's letzakonos b'nei ha-medina. It's a law passed to protect society. Here, there's a bit of a machlokes. Some Paiskim say, you've got to listen to the government. It's only as far as the government is concerned. The moment the government has no vested interest, Dina Malchusa Dina will not apply. However, many Paiskim disagree with this, and the Ramah paskins as a matter of halacha that Dina Malchusa Dina will apply wherever the government, wherever there's a rule which is letakonos b'nei ha-medina. It's passed for the better of society. For example, let's deal with intellectual property. Intellectual property, perhaps the government doesn't have a direct interest in. Whether or not I copy this piece of software does not really impact the government. Nevertheless, because a large chunk of the economy today, we live in an information economy, the United States doesn't manufacture that much in the way of goods. Well, it's much of the GDP is based on information. It's based on software. It's based on intellectual property. So these copyright protections are clearly passed for the benefit of society. Otherwise, if you don't have any copyright protections, it makes no sense to invest the money needed to develop the software, to develop whatever you're doing. And therefore, there's a clear takonas b'nei ha-medina, and therefore, according to the Ramah, Dina Malchusa Dina would apply to all sorts of copyright protection. Now again, there are other halachic issues with copyright protection, even besides Dina Malchusa Dina. One could also argue that because much of the tax base is based on intellectual property, the government perhaps does have a vested interest. But just by way of example, any time there's a law passed to protect society, there the Ramah writes, we would say Dina de Malchusa Dina. Traffic laws. The government may have no direct vested interest in how fast I travel down the parkway, or whether I go through a red light or not. However, because clearly this is a takonas b'nei ha-medina, you need rules of the road, you have to have speed limits, you have to have enforcement, you have to have a seder. Therefore, it would be a takonas b'nei ha-medina, and according to the Ramah, Dina de Malchusa Dina would certainly apply. Again, in this example, even if there was no Dina de Malchusa Dina, clearly it's dangerous to speed, and shmarta moedas nafshei seichem. But even as a matter of halacha, Dina Malchusa Dina would apply to such cases because it is a takonas b'nei ha-medina. It's something which is there for the benefit of society, and it's a rule and laws that are certainly needed. What gets interesting is what happens if there's a law that's passed by a lobby that is not necessarily for the benefit of society. Now, one interesting example which is discussed in the Achroinim is rent control. Many places can say rent control is takonas b'nei ha-medina. It's there to protect the tenants. It's there to protect landlords from taking advantage of a tight market. And therefore, most places can, as a matter of halacha, say dina malchusa dina. What's interesting is there's a tshuva from the Chavetz Chaim that says that anyone who knows a little bit of the history of rent control will know that it was set up by a bunch of socialists and communists. It might be for the benefit of the tenants, but it's at the expense of the landlords. And therefore, he reasons, who says that that's called takonas b'nei ha-medina? Who says we should favor one group over the other? And therefore, the Chavetzel Sasharon, which again is a minority opinion, rejects dina malchusa dina in instances of rent control. Now, as a matter of halacha, the Gros Moshe has a fascinating tshuva. And he brings up a very important point. He starts, the question that was asked involved rent control, and he began with alluding to the discussion of whether there is dinar machus dinar or not. But the Gris Moshe continues that it's not relevant. Why? Because we have a rule that in dinei mamonos, when we're dealing with financial matters, minhag mevatel halacha. We follow the custom, the local custom, the local norms. And the reason is simple. Whenever two parties agree to a deal, the expectation and the understanding is that this deal and this bargain is going to be consistent, it's going to be based on the normal deal, the normal terms that are in use today. So Rav Moshe says, rent control, dina machus dina, yes, dina machus dina, no, wonderful question. But it's irrelevant. Because today, because the law has been around for so long, everyone realizes, and every tenant or every landlord, when they sit down to negotiate their lease, they all understand there's a concept of rent control. And unless they specifically say that we're not going to follow these guidelines, it's a minhug. There's an implicit acceptance of these laws. And therefore, the Igros Moshe continues, it is totally irrelevant whether you do say it's dina machus dina or you don't. As a matter of practice, because it's been around so long, it's created a minhug, it's changed the party's expectations, and therefore they're going to be bound to it regardless of the technicalities, dina machus dina, yes, yes or no. So this is the second category. Again, any issue that impacts the government, any issue involving taxation or the government or a criminal matter or a matter of where the government insists that these are the guidelines, there everyone agrees to dina machus dina. The second level is a case where the government has no vested interest. You're not dealing with a criminal matter. You're dealing just with a private matter between two people. There is a dispute among the Rishonim. The Ramah and most Achrayim seem to follow this ruling. Is that as long as there's a legitimate public policy, as long as there's a takanas b'nei ha-medina, the law was passed to protect society, to protect people, there we will say, we will, as a matter of halacha, accept dina machus dina. The last category of minhag, the Igros Moshe pointed out, is that in many cases, the concept, the theory of dina machus dina is not that relevant. Because even if on technical grounds we can throw out a dina de malchus dina, we can say it does not apply, still, the moment a law is passed and it changes people's expectations, it becomes an implicit part of the bargain, the parties would be bound to honor it regardless of whether or not it technically has dina de malchus dina.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.